Good morning. This is Patricia Kullberg, and I'm going to be speaking today with a special guest, Naomi Nkinsey from University of Washington, about how racism gets embedded into medical science. Naomi Nkinsey is a medical student, as I said, at University of Washington Medical School, and she is also studying for a master's degree in public health. And in the past year, she led a successful effort at University of Washington to get the medical center to abandon a so-called race correction for a commonly used test. So welcome to KBOO, Naomi Nkinsey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be speaking with you today.
We would like to think that medical sciences is objective and fact-based. It's science after all. Supposedly it's based on rational thought and experimentation, but it turns out this isn't always the case. So I'd like to start, Naomi, by having you tell us about this particular test of kidney function and what is so problematic about it.
This particular test is used to measure something that we called EGFR. So that's estimated glomerular filtration rate. And basically what this is that it measures the rate at which your kidneys filter products. And in that urine, you also get a byproduct of muscle breakdown called creatinine. So what this test does is it measures the filtration of the kidneys, and it gives us an estimate of how functional someone's kidneys are. So in order to measure this, we use an equation called the MDRD equation. And in this equation, along with sex, another factor that's taken into consideration is a person's race, but more specifically, if a person is Black versus non-Black. So what this coefficient does is that if the patient is Black, it has a multiplying factor of 1.21. So what this means clinically is that if you are a Black patient, you could be at the same level of creatinine expulsion as a non-Black person, but because the GFR is being calculated with a multiplying factor because of your skin color, your kidney functioning will actually look artificially better than it would if you were non-Black. This means that if you are a Black individual, it takes a higher level of kidney disease to be marked as having kidney dysfunction. So this plays a large role in clinical practice because GFR is measured in order to determine who can get a kidney transplant. So we prioritize kidney transplantation for people that have lower kidney function. If you are a Black individual, it actually takes longer for you to get at the point of GFR functioning where you can qualify for a kidney transplant. So this leads to Black people waiting on kidney transplant lists for a longer period of time, getting treatment with later, more end-stage kidney disease, and then lesser and poorer health outcomes compared to non-Black individuals.
So, Naomi, was there any science behind this race correction?
Yeah, so the reason this came about was because of a study in 1999 called the MDRD study. So this was a study of 1,628 participants, and the purpose of this study was to find a better way to measure kidney functioning in a way that was, you know, less invasive and more accurate than what we had at the time. So this study found that when they were measuring people's creatinine, which again is a measure of muscle breakdown, that Black individuals had higher levels of creatinine in their urine. So from this, they made the jump that if you were Black, it meant that you had greater muscle mass, so that your creatinine level wasn't actually predictive of your kidney functioning, but it was because you were Black and had therefore more muscle. And it's important to note that in this study, the justification of Black people having more muscle mass isn't founded on any type of accurate science. So they cited three studies that look to identify difference in body composition between Black and white individuals. And these studies were problematic in that there was issues with consent, and also that the researchers, they were the ones that determined who was Black or non-Black. So by looking at a person, they said, this person's Black, this person looks white, and the definitions of race between the studies actually changed. It's flawed, and the fact that this is being used as a justification is also problematic.
So let's turn for a little bit on how you organized against this deeply flawed race correction.
I became involved in this my first year of medical school, and we had a lecture in which we were taught the MDRD equation, and we were just taught that race plays a role in kidney functioning, in particular Black race, and there was no further explanation given to our class. In the Seattle cohort of UW students, I'm one of five Black people. So you can imagine that I was sitting in class, you know, surrounded by people that in general don't look like me, being taught by a white professor, and having to sit there and listen to him saying that my body is inherently inferior or physiologically different because of the amount of melanin in my skin. So in that lecture, I asked, you know, what is the physiologic pathway that links melanin to kidney function? How do you identify a patient as Black? What happens if a patient is mixed race or doesn't look Black to the physician but has Black ancestry? And the only information that could be given about why we were using race in this equation was because Black people have more muscle mass. And of course, you know, I'm someone that grew up running track and field and cross country in middle and high school. And that's always an argument that you heard as a stereotype. Well, oh, you're running fast because Black people have more muscle. So the fact that this was being touted as science and being taught to medical students to then perpetuate that with their own patients was so mind-boggling to me, because in every other aspect of our education, we've been asked to focus on precision and evidence-based. And something like this with so little evidence was still being used today and having impact on patients. So from there, I met with the lead of our CPR unit, so one of my professors, and I had a really great conversation with him for a few hours, actually. I talked to him about why I felt this was problematic, the research that I had found that showed that having race included in GFR led to poorer outcomes for Black patients. And then working in partnership with the Anti-Racism Action Committee at our school, it was a perfect foundation where you already have an established organization that takes students' concerns and brings in faculty members to be able to have those conversations. So this is where allies like Liz Stein and others who aren't Black students but had heard my complaints came forward, and they took on the burden of meeting with faculty to explain this issue with them. So it started as, you know, a student movement, and then we had buy-in from faculty that were allies, and then they kind of took it upon themselves to kind of, you know, round up their own faculty members and discuss with them why this was problematic. And then from there, laboratory medicine and nephrology and internal medicine and family medicine got together. And they did an investigation of the UW Medicine patient population to determine whether or not this would be a feasible change. And they actually found that there was no physiological difference in kidney function between Black patients and other patients.
So this is Patricia Kullberg, and I'm speaking today with medical student Naomi Nkinsey about how race gets embedded in clinical science. Could you tell us a little bit about a very interesting study that came out in the New England Journal of Medicine just this past June about race-based algorithms?
Yeah, so this study came out that pointed out all of the different ways that race is built into algorithms that are used to make clinical decisions. For example, for pulmonary function tests, for the kidney test that we talked about, for determine if someone in labor needs a C-section or a vaginal delivery. This was a study that really laid it out plain and simple that race is built into these algorithms. And in all cases is inappropriate because, again, race isn't biological.
And as I recall from reading the article, nearly all the consequences were unfavorable to African Americans in a clinical setting. Is this not true?
Yes, this is true. Again, these algorithms reinforce the idea that Black bodies are physiologically different than others and that they're inherently inferior. So putting those into the algorithms really kind of sets it in stone that a patient that comes in and is Black will be getting different care from non-Black patients.
There are observed differences between the races in clinical medicine. For example, Black people have more hypertension and they appear to have greater salt sensitivity than people who are not Black. And this has led to the practice of so-called race-based medicine, which I think the original impulse was that this would potentially bring benefits to people of color. But tell us a little bit about this and the problems with it.
So the issue with race-based medicine at its core is that it implies that race is biological when it's not. So race is a social construct. And what we are trying to move towards is rather than saying race is a risk factor for certain diseases like hypertension, that racism is that risk factor and the impacts of racism. Race-based medicine, like you said, people thought that it would lead to better outcomes for people of color, particularly Black people, but that hasn't been the case. And part of it is because race doesn't really exist, right? It's fluid. The definition of race has changed over time. And really what we should be moving towards is looking at genetics. Because when we say race, usually we're using it as a proxy for ancestry and genetic ancestry. So moving away from race-based medicine is a way to be more precise in the language that we're using and more precise in the care that we're giving.
This is interesting. When I was in practice, it seemed to me that clinicians and researchers always wanted to explain things in terms of bad luck, bad behavior, or bad genes, and that bad environment and bad social conditions were much less likely to be part of the explanatory model. And while I think you might agree with that assessment, you're also saying that there is some value in understanding ancestry, which is not the same as race.
Yes. So one example that I can give for this is with sickle cell disease. So sickle cell disease is a disease that misshapes your red blood cells, which carry oxygen throughout your body and can lead to severe pain and a host of other issues. Sickle cell disease is traditionally taught as a disease that impacts Black people. The reasoning that they give is because, you know, Black people have ancestry in Africa, and in parts of Africa, malaria is endemic. So using Black race, again, is being used as a proxy for something else, because really sickle cell is common in all populations that have ancestry in areas where malaria is endemic. So parts of South America, parts of the Mediterranean, parts of Europe, so not just Africa. So again, this is another example where race and ancestry and genetics are being kind of all blended together when really they're separate things.
It sounds to me like you have many, many issues that you could tackle as an activist. And as you work on these issues, how have you experienced that work? How has that gone for you?
It's interesting because I tend to get support from other students, particularly other students of color. But when it comes to support from faculty or the administration of the school, that only tends to come after media outlets pick things up and congratulate the school. But during the process of speaking out, there is a lot of pushback. So one specific example I can give is that our school is regional, so we do rotations in all parts of the Pacific Northwest. And a lot of those areas are very rural, predominantly white areas. So in a question and answer panel, I spoke up to ask about how students of color, especially Black students or students that, for example, wear hijabs, where they're going to be more visible than others, how do we protect those students when going into more rural areas that might not be as open to them? The response I got back from one of the deans was an email saying that my question asking about racism from these communities was offensive and that the video recording would be edited to remove my question from it before it was disseminated out to students.
You were erased.
Yeah, literally erased. So okay. This is the kind of pushback that we face when we bring up these issues. And, you know, that's only one example. I've had numerous others. So it's very odd because I'm in a position where I appreciate that changes are being made and I appreciate being recognized for it. But it also is a feeling of kind of like a slap in the face because I know that in the process of being an activist and calling for these changes, I haven't been treated well. It's mm-hmm. only now that people are getting positive feedback from the community that I'm being touted as someone to celebrate, but that hasn't always been the case.
Uh-huh. What else would you like, or is there anything else you would like to say about your experience in confronting these kind of well-established and racist practices and attitudes within clinical science and medical education?
Yeah, so one last thing I'd like to say is to just point out the labor that students have put into making these changes to make medicine more anti-racist and medical education. And it's really disappointing to see that students, especially Black students, Indigenous students, and other students of color, are having this labor put on them where it's not compensated, and they're often facing retaliation, when really it should be the job of the institutions to be pushing for these changes. So I just want to shout out the students that have been doing this work for years, and to also give credit to others like Dr. Amaka Inyanya and Dr. Vanessa Grubbs, who have spent decades on specifically the EGFR work that is only now starting to get recognition.
Naomi, it sounds like there are a lot of people who have contributed to this process of trying to get the racism out of medicine. And when we post the show on the website, I'll post some links to their work. This has been Patricia Kohlberg for the Old Mole Variety Hour, speaking today with Naomi Nkinsi, activist, medical student, and candidate for a master's degree in public health at the University of Washington. You can find Naomi and message her on her Twitter account, which is NNKINSI. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.